A private equity firm is buying Walgreens. Will the sale help the struggling pharmacy retailer turn around its fortunes? And what will it mean for independent pharmacies? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss what this will mean for customers and local pharmacies are Ohio Pharmacists Association Executive Director David Burke. Welcome, David.
For having me.
Thanks for being here. Altev Community Pharmacy owner, Manny Iyanjoke. Thank you so much for being here, Manny.
Happy to be here.
And Day's Pharmacy owner, Kevin Day. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Thanks, Lucy. Excited to be here.
David, let's start by talking about what went wrong with Walgreens. How did such a big pharmacy chain get into such big trouble?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm not sure if it's a Walgreens issue to the context of your question, or more of a market-based situation. You know, we think about large chains here in this country, right, which pretty much limits you to CVS and Walgreens. CVS is heavily engaged in the PBM sector, so they kind of have a foot in both areas, both administering the pharmacy benefit through their PBM sector and as a provider through their pharmacy sector. Walgreens just focused on the pharmacy sector, which is the more traditional route when we think about, you know, regular pharmacies, whether they're, you know, Kevin Day's pharmacy who's on with us, or, you know, Walgreens or Kroger, or, you know, even Rite Aid, for example, right? They weren't in the PBM sector. Rite Aid folded. So I'm not sure if Walgreens did anything wrong other than what they were really good at. They just didn't broaden their base and the market shifted, and you were either in the PBM business or you weren't.
And those PBMs, those are pharmacy benefit managers that negotiate drug prices. We've done some programs on those before here on Cincinnati Edition. Manny, do smaller independent pharmacies face the same challenges that the big Walgreens does, or do you face bigger challenges or different challenges? What are you facing as an independent pharmacy owner?
Yeah, we certainly face much bigger challenges. Because a lot of times when we contract with these pharmacy benefit managers, we don't even have a say as to negotiating those contract terms. And mind you, when we contract with these big pharmacy benefit managers, we're doing so with thousands of other mom and pop shops across the country. So even with that, you know, combined power, we have no leverage or negotiating power. And we can see in this case that even Walgreens, as big as they are, don't have the power, and that's what has caused what's going on right now.
Yeah. Kevin, what does that mean to lack that negotiating power? Does that mean that you just have to take whatever reimbursement the pharmacy benefit managers say you're going to get?
For the most part, yeah. We've referred to these contracts as take it or leave it contracts. I'm actually one of very few pharmacies across the country that have taken the leave it choice. So I dropped all but one of my contracts with those pharmacy benefit managers at the beginning of 2024, and instead just charge patients directly for medications that they need, which tend to be incredibly inexpensive. There are some that are very, very costly, and we're really glad people have insurance for those, but we can sell lots of medications for low prices. But that was a really hard choice for us to make for our business, and put lots of people, lots of patients in a bind, my team members. It was a really big struggle. So that is essentially the only choice that pharmacy owners have, is either to deal with those reimbursements, try to limit losses by potentially sending patients other places for things, which violates their contracts. So that's a really tough place to be. Or to say, I'm going to get out of this business, and whether that means get out of pharmacy altogether, which is really bad for communities. And we see that across the state and across the country with growing pharmacy deserts, and that Dave has, I'm sure, some information and detail on, or pharmacy choices like mine, where we say, we're going to stay in pharmacy and we're going to try really hard to take care of people, but we're not going to play the insurance games anymore.
Kevin, I want to hear a little bit more about that, because that decision to leave it, you mentioned how difficult that was, but what did that mean? I mean, did you end up having to lose some customers because of that? I imagine folks who count on expensive medications and want their insurance to help pay for them, did they just have to find another provider? How did that work?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So we shrank by about 30% when we pulled that trigger, and sent, unfortunately, lots of long-term patients, lots of family members away, right, where we couldn't be their provider of choice anymore. So we refer to that as we are still their preferred pharmacy and on their pharmacy team as pharmacists and our team members here, but we are using someone else as their dispensing pharmacy where they actually get their medicine from. But for many people, that means it was the end of our relationship. And that is really hard, right? There were many tears shed and lots of the emotions, probably the entire spectrum. But most of our patients, thankfully, were understanding and appreciative of who we are and what we're doing. And we do still see many of them to help answer questions and guide them through some of the healthcare challenges, even though we can't dispense their medications anymore.
And
What's
when you had to,
interesting, Lucy, kind of on, I'm
yeah,
sorry, on
please
this
go
next
ahead.
step is we were trying to send many of those patients to other local pharmacies, and they didn't want that business either, right? That was it was I was dropping those contracts for financial reasons, kind of at the end of the day, and our friends didn't want that pressure either. And then we ended up sending many of those patients to Kroger, who dropped one of the contracts, right? So we've been putting patients through the rat race a little bit.
Wow. Well, and you mentioned that I think you said you had to shrink by 30%, but was that more profitable for you? I don't want to get into the numbers, but was it better for your business financially to shrink and say no thanks to those contracts?
Sure. Our gross profitability is essentially stable, at this point. But every time that we grow, as we add to our gross profitability, I think had we stayed in our contracts, our gross profitability for 2024 would have been lower as reimbursements continued to fall from 23 to 24. I can't speak for that for sure since I wasn't in the contracts to have that data, but that's my read of the scenario from across the country. But because we're slower, we're able to take really, really good care of our patients, which is what we want to be doing anyway. So not filling lots of prescriptions that lose us money is did not cost us basically anything from a profitability perspective, but has allowed us to take really, really great care of our patients.
Manny, you've been listening very intently, I know, as I have to all this. How does that work at your pharmacy? Have you thought about walking away like Kevin did because you're kind of at the mercy of these pharmacy benefit managers and the rates they set?
Yeah, so in our pharmacy, we happen to be very fortunate. And a lot of that is because of the work that we have folks like Dave Burke at the Ohio Pharmacists Association have done. And what they basically did was they allowed Ohio to decide what pharmacy benefit manager it wants to choose. And what that happened was it opened the door for fair reimbursement for pharmacies. And it happens to be that a lot of our volume is from Ohio Medicaid plans, and that helps shield us from some of those, horrible contracts that we have to deal with. But now it doesn't mean we're immune from it. We still have a lot of challenges when it comes to the commercial plans as well as the Medicare plans, where you have this big pharmacy benefit manager still dominating that field. And I can tell you, every single day I see the losses. We're a new pharmacy, and in the past 6 months we've had almost $7,000 in losses.
Oh my goodness, that's tough.
It's a huge amount, and it bites into your bottom line. It bites into your ability to hire more staff to take care of patients, and it has real life consequences to the patients that we serve.
We're talking about what the sale of Walgreens could mean for customers and local independent pharmacies. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. David, I want to come back to Walgreens. A private equity firm is now buying Walgreens, and those types of firms can kind of have a reputation for buying companies, draining the value out of them, and then selling them. Do you think that's what could happen with Walgreens?
No, I don't think that's what'll happen. The pharmacy buying and selling market has really dried up. I don't know who would purchase Walgreens in part or in full. I mean, this is the issue that Rite Aid had. The FTC blocked them at first, and then the chain just eventually collapsed. But I think that, as you got the impression from both Manny and Kevin, that this is a market that is in change, right? Washington, D.C. is paying attention to pharmacy benefit managers. Most people have heard of the acronym PBM before. And I think we're actually going to start moving towards a true actuarial-based cost. So like Manny touched on with Medicaid, we're actually, the state is reimbursing for the cost of the drug, not profitability, but just break even, right? If you buy something for a dollar, the state is actually paying someone a dollar for those drugs. And pharmacy is a unique healthcare benefit because it pretty much deals with a tangible good. It's not service driven. You know, when you think about a surgery or a procedure that you have done, or you visit your doctor, there might not be an exchange of an item, but in pharmacy, that's exactly what it is. And as both Manny and Kevin have mentioned, you can't buy something for a dollar and repeatedly sell it for 95 cents and stay in business. So I do think we'll see change in this space. And I think the privatization of Walgreens is a good thing. And, you know, although I don't have my store anymore, I hope Manny and Kevin would agree, I would say to Walgreens, welcome to the family, right? We've been living this nightmare for quite some time. And the private equity firm is soon going to realize, right, what needs fixed. And I think actually I would look at them more as partners in solving this problem than somebody who's actually going to liquidate an asset. I think the private equity firm probably feels this market is ripe for a turnaround. And eventually Walgreens may go back into the stock exchange. I don't think that is unreasonable. And I think that's more likely than them liquidating Walgreens.
So what do you think, David, they'll do to fix it? I mean, there are a lot of moving parts that this private equity firm, even as the owner of Walgreens, won't control.
Yep. So Washington, D.C. is having serious conversations. They did at the end of last year with lame duck. But you've got players besides Walgreens and, the Ohio Pharmacist Associate in that room. You know, you've got pharmacies at Kroger, Giant Eagle, Walmart. I mean, the list goes on across the country. They haven't done anything with those sectors yet, but I have to think that they're in the offices of their congressmen and U.S. senators telling them you've got to fix this. The irony is that the government is actually the major issue here. CMS, as Manny touched on, right? Medicare, Part D, or Advantage plans, they're all administered by PBMs. And of course, older people get more prescriptions because of their age and conditions. And they generally get more, quantity of prescriptions, not just one, but usually three or four at a time. So CMS and the federal government has got to change their own market dynamic. If they do that and they cut out the middleman, who, by the way, is absorbing a lot of these costs. I mean, I know no other sector where, and Kevin kind of touched on it, you can do more business and make less money. That's a reimbursement issue, and that's handled by these pharmacy benefits. I think that's going to change, and a pharmacist could just get paid for what they're selling, along with a admin, or we call it a dispensing fee, that's really nominal. This market changes dynamically, and people's access and quality of care will go up dynamically as well.
We're going to continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll talk about the disappearance of photographic and written records and what that means for future generations. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the sale of Walgreens and what it will mean for customers and local independent pharmacies. My guests are Ohio Pharmacists Association Executive Director David Burke, Altev Community Pharmacy Owner Manny Ayanjoke, and Day's Pharmacy Owner Kevin Day. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. David, before the break, you were talking about how you really think there's interest in making change at the federal level when it comes to pharmacy benefit managers, when it comes to prices and reimbursements. There's been a lot going on at the federal level. Do you think this will be a focus for Congress and the Trump administration, something that affects, a lot of people, obviously, but there are also a lot of moving parts in Washington, D.C. these days?
I do. In the last Trump administration, they kind of touched on this at the very end of that term, dealing with regulations around rebates and price transparency. I think they're going to pick that ball up and run with it. And to the point of your question, we're really starting to experience access issues. The State Board of Pharmacy has started closely analyzing pharmacy deserts, and that's just not a geographic issue, right, where a pharmacy is located. as Manny and Kevin have touched on, it's also a contractual issue. I mean, you may have a pharmacy in your town, but if it's not in your network for the pharmacy benefit, well, what good does that do you, right? So you've got a contractual desert as well. And to your point with Washington, you know, CMS is going to start running into access issues. And that not only affects Medicare, but Medicaid as well. There are federal qualifications around access. When you have people that are going out of business left and right, and mind you, independents have been going through this for at least a decade, if not two, it's finally hitting the chains. I don't think this issue is one that can be avoided in the next year or so. It is going to start to fester and go into other markets where, like I said, these other players that don't do this as a prime business, like, you know, the Krogers, the Walgreens, rather the Walmarts, you know, the Giant Eagles of the world, I think they're going to be evaluating their business model. And that's got to be very scary when it comes to access.
Kevin, Walgreens had already announced it would be closing hundreds of stores across the country. What kind of impact do those closures have on your business? I'm going to ask Manny the same thing.
Yes, I would say so far, it hasn't impacted my business necessarily directly. I know of many independent pharmacies that have either Walgreens or in Ohio, there's lots of Rite Aids that have left the market recently. And it's a huge impact on the business. Certainly if a Walgreens down the street goes closes that location, patients tend to be looking for the pharmacy that's closest to them. That's their primary driver of choice of pharmacy. And we kind of all understand that. So if you are across the street and one pharmacy closes, there's a lot of patients that are coming your way. If you're staffed and ready for that and logistically able to take the influx of patients, it's probably a good thing for most businesses, right, to grow. But sometimes those can come really suddenly and be disruptive both to existing patient care, team dynamics. There's lots of pressure there from a small business kind of perspective. I would say I would welcome the Walgreens pharmacies near me closing, right? That would be a benefit to me as a business owner. And I'm not shy about saying that out loud.
What about you, Manny? Have you felt any impact from those announced closures or what has it meant for your business?
So we have not, but as I think about the realities of those businesses coming over, the fact is a bad contract is a bad contract, right? If you have more volume and you're still losing money, still the same thing. Probably better off not even having that book of business. So to us, we are primarily doing our best to look out for our community, and that's what we prioritize. And we believe that at the end of the day, things will pan out the right way. But nonetheless, it's unpredictable. You might have businesses that and transfers that would put us under the water. You might have some that you might make a margin on. You just don't know.
We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Keegan. Thanks for your call. What's your question?
Hi. I was calling to ask how much of the financial issues of Walgreens is being now specifically pharmacy related versus how much many of their stores are trying to compete with convenience stores like Dollar General, doing photo development and like.
I'm going to put you on hold there, Keegan, because our connection's kind of rough with you. But I think the point of the question is, okay, there are these challenges for pharmacies, but another big part of the Walgreens business is photo development, selling little bits of groceries and diapers and that sort of thing. David, do you have any sense for how that business model contributed to the financial trouble that Walgreens found itself in?
Yeah, so good question from Keegan. And historically, the front end actually generated more significant profit than the pharmacy, believe that or not. The gross margins were better on those products, and they actually supplemented the profitability of the business. I think you've seen the PBM sector, the pharmacy benefit managers, continually torque down on profitability to the point that the front end could no longer help supplement the pharmacy. And that is why I am sure 25% of Walgreens are underwater. It's not that they were, you know, doing too many photographs or taking, you know, too many passport pictures. It was, you know, 100% pharmacy. And I'll double down on your question by saying, you know, how long before other people that don't do this solely as a business determine that putting a wine and cheese shop in that space, in that grocery store, is more profitable than the pharmacy? I mean, you got to remember these these business models take hundreds of thousands of dollars in inventory and hundreds of thousands of dollars in payroll and receivables equally as voluminous dollar-wise. I mean, these are not cheap operations. And when the profitability starts to get down into the very low single percents, it's simply not worth doing anymore. And that's my fear, is that Walgreens has become a sentinel moment, that independent pharmacy was a canary in the coal mine for years, and that we're going to see this extrapolate out across the market, which is why I believe action is just imminent. Otherwise, these are, as Kevin and Manny will tell you, you just don't open up a pharmacy tomorrow. I mean, these things take a little bit of time.
You know, David, you were talking about before that for Walgreens, it's kind of like welcome to our world with how difficult it is in the pharmacy business. I read a statistic that nearly one in three pharmacies closed between 2010 and 2021, that the risk of closure was higher in predominantly Black and Latino neighborhoods, and that independent pharmacies are more than twice as likely to close compared with chains. Manny, does that align with what you've seen in this industry?
That is exactly true. And before we opened our pharmacy, Altev is actually, I mean, we're located at a pharmacy desert in Avondale. So, and when you think about the reality of that, it is someone's mom who was just discharged from the hospital, not being able to get their medication, someone having to take the bus to go several miles just to get their medications. All these things have a huge impact on people's health. And unfortunately, the reality is that the model that exists in pharmacy today, where, as Dave was saying, they supplement the pharmacy by the front end purchases, right? What if you're in a neighborhood that don't have the dispensable income to support that front end purchase? Well, from a business sense, it almost makes sense to close such stores. So that's what you see play out across the states. Many closures that you're going to see are probably going to be in neighborhoods that actually need the pharmacy.
Mm. Kevin, what have you seen? What's been your experience running your locations?
A lot of change over the years. So the pharmacy I'm sitting in now, I bought from my parents. We've had it in our family for 35 years, and it's a totally different model than it used to be. And I think Keegan is right directionally. I'm not sure what the answer is about how much from a percentage perspective, but I don't think there's any getting around the fact that Walgreens is a very large national retailer, and very large national retailers have had lots of pressure and struggle over the last decade or so, whether it's Amazon or Dollar General, or, you know, pick your kind of poison of what has been changing that landscape. But that landscape is so different than it was when I was a child. So certainly here, I mean, we used to sell light bulbs, and kind of were the local community hardware store. We had everything. We had candy and snacks and diapers that you mentioned. Now I don't sell anything essentially in my pharmacies that are not health related. And we're really a healthcare destination and trying to be that for our patients. And I think of my individuals who come here as patients, not as customers, right? So we're seeing them as someone who we are part of their care team, and we're working with them for healthcare goals, and not just as someone who we're trying to sell something to. That's a type of adjustment that we've been able to make as a single and now recently two-store location. But even that is difficult. You know, the logistics of it are hard over time. I can't really fathom Walgreens leadership teams or leadership teams like that trying to make those kinds of choices. Although I do think what CVS announced recently of smaller footprint stores is in that direction, right, of being kind of healthcare exclusive and trying to get away from some of those retail pressures that are out in the market.
Manny, this is such a tough business. What keeps you going? Why keep doing this when, you know, like you said, some of those patients, you're losing money with those prescriptions you're filling?
Yeah, I think it's the patients, right? I think anyone who was an independent pharmacy is a different type of person. And all three of us on the call, Dave, me being a former store owner, and even Kevin, we have just this desire to actually care for our patients. Most of us have ties in the neighborhood that we serve, and it's very different. It's a different level of commitment to our patients. So what keeps me going is when I have that one patient come to my store and just thank me for how we've made an impact in their lives and how their health is where it needs to be just because of us interceding and trying to help. Those are the moments that keep me going, honestly.
Well, I've been talking with Ohio Pharmacists Association Executive Director David Burke, Altev Community Pharmacy Owner Manny Ayanjoke, and Days Pharmacy Owner Kevin Day. Thank you all so much for your time today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy.
Up next, we'll discuss the importance of photographic and written records and what's happening locally to preserve them. This is Cincinnati Edition.